This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 595. Great to have you with us once again. Thank you for taking the time to listen. My name is Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're joined by Amazon's Julia Stewart. We talk to her about how the massive company is preventing scams. We'll also catch up with Chris Lau from Laser, and we'll talk about the trends that he's observing when it comes to affordable technology. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the Geekom mini PC. We also check out the Australian-made software platform that puts all your entertainment in one place and how you can watch sport for free on Hubble. And we'll answer all of your tech questions, of course, in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, the company that keeps you connected, and Norton, the company that keeps you protected. Scams on the internet are nothing new. In fact, they're more prominent, they're getting worse, more people are affected. And of course, the larger your presence online, let's use Amazon as the example, then the bigger target you are, not just for yourself, but also scammers that are imitating you. That's a big issue here with phishing scams, is that there's a lot of communication, emails that people incorrectly assume or think that it's from the company that appears at the top of the email. It's very easy for a scammer to impersonate a bank, a store, not only on an email, but also to imitate an entire website as well. Scams are not going away. In fact, the National Anti-Scam Centre found that Australians reported a record $3.1 billion lost to scams in last year. You know, that's 80% more than the year before. And I reckon that figure is probably on the lower side because there's a lot of people who are embarrassed to admit they've been scammed. I reckon you could probably add 20 to 30% to that figure for people who've decided to keep quiet. Maybe they've reported it, but maybe a lot of them have kept it to themselves. They're just embarrassed to think that, oh, someone fooled me and stole my money. You're not the lone ranger there. There's a lot of people who are targeted by scams each and every day. We are starting to build up a little bit of resistance, a bit of knowledge about it anyway, so we can kind of pick a scam. But now with AI and all these other things that are coming in, it is a lot harder. They're getting a lot more sophisticated. So to talk about it a little bit more, I thought we'd get Amazon Australia Public Policy Manager Julia Stewart to have a talk to us. Hi, Julia. Thanks for joining us on the Tech Guide podcast. How are you going?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Well, scams and online security is always a hot topic of discussion, and no doubt Amazon, being an online company, is more than aware of these dangers. What are you seeing now? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? How are we looking out there?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So you might have seen there are some statistics that came out of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, our sort of regulator, and they have what they've called a National Anti-Scam Centre. And what they found last year was that Aussies lost about just over $3 billion to scams last year, which is about 80% more than what happened the year before. We, at Amazon specifically, we actually found that our level of scams went down about 15%, but that $3 billion number is, as you can imagine, quite concerning. So yeah, it's something that we definitely are trying to, you know, try and help out and try and make sure that our customers are protected wherever we can do it.
And that $3 billion, that's just in Australia, isn't it?
Yep, that's just in Australia and just last year.
That's alarming. And you said it's 80% more than the year before, but I understand you guys are actually bucking the trend with some of your innovative technologies to help protect your customers.
That's right. Like we do a lot of things here at Amazon, and obviously, as you said, you know, we are an online company, so we're We've got a lot of great technology that we try and use, but also a lot of it is just really trying to educate our customers and help them understand, I guess, the things that we will and we won't do when we're contacting them. We also do a whole range of other stuff as well. Like we have partnerships with companies around the world. And then we also do things like run legal cases and try and see where we can, where there are scammers, and try and stop the scammers in their tracks as well.
So it's actually holding the scammers accountable, isn't it? You're trying to get to the bottom of it, solve these cases and hold and bring them to justice. Is that basically what you're trying to do in some cases?
Absolutely, because what we find is a lot of the time it's people using our brand name. So they're doing scams that have nothing to do with Amazon, but they're using our brand name to conduct these scams. So we're trying to stop that as early as we can.
So I'd imagine Amazon is a massive target. So what sort of technologies do you have to protect yourselves? You are such a big target. You need to have that protection, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's definitely a range of things that we do to try and work to protect our customers, educational initiatives to help consumers know it's us, looking at partnerships. As a company, as you can imagine, we've got teams of machine learning scientists, we've got software developers and expert investigators around the world who are dedicated to protecting customers from scams. Yeah, so I think, for example, that your listeners might find interesting is that in 2023, Amazon itself, so just our company, we initiated takedowns of more than 40,000 what are called phishing websites, and I'm happy to explain that in more detail, and also 10,000 phone numbers, all impersonating Amazon. And that's just our company taking this action.
So you're talking tens of thousands of like phishing, so emails imitating Amazon to say your account is, something's happened to your account or something, your package can't be delivered. Like, is that typically what we're seeing?
Yeah. And look, you may have even received one of these yourself. I think probably the two most common ones that we see at Amazon is what we call an email attachment scam. Uh-huh. So that's where you get an email, a company says it's coming from Amazon, and that your account will be suspended or put on hold. Normally there's an attachment with a fraudulent link that says, something along the lines of update your account. And obviously that's a link that will send you off to provide your personal details to the scammer. Mm-hmm. Another one which is really common, unfortunately, is what we is got to do with our Prime membership. So obviously lots of people have Prime memberships. People love having their parcels delivered the next day. But unfortunately what we're seeing is those fraudulent, emails or calls or texts that say there's a problem with your membership or, there's a membership fee, and just asking you to confirm or to cancel that. And that's also where the scammers can then try and get your personal information or your bank information to try and scam you as well.
It's tough, isn't it, these days? You receive an email, and I think we've been trained to be suspicious of everything now. So it's hard. Would you agree it's harder for customers now to see through what's real and what isn't?
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing now is that customers before would have obviously just, I guess, responded and done something, whereas now they're thinking about it as that happens, because we've all had so many scam calls. I mean, I think, I don't know about you, but I've had three scam calls on my phone this morning. Wow. Already. So, yeah, I've obviously been doing too much online shopping. What we're seeing is that we're just trying to make sure that people know sort of the basic trends and things that we will do so that they can sort of keep helping to protect themselves. So stuff like, making sure that, and I think this goes for a range of companies, right? Like, we won't ever call you about your membership. And I think one thing your listeners should always remember, and if there's sort of one message, is that our app or your online account, that's always the source of truth. So if you ever receive anything, don't ever feel, and a really big tactic that scammers use is that sense of urgency, right? Like, they call you and you have to have it happen right away. And I think that really plays on people. But really, what the best thing to do is just if you don't think it's legitimate or if you've got any concerns, just hang up, stop, and just take a moment. And then you can always go and, check your actual account. I think that's probably the best thing that people can do, because so much of these scams happen off our website. They've got nothing to do with us. So if you go back to your actual account, you can always double check and just take your time, I think, is the best message that we can send.
Yeah, I agree. I've always had given that advice. Just take a second. You're right. They do try to create that urgency. It has to be done now. Your account's going to close. They do try to create that panic. And I often tell people, you know what, just take a breath. It's not urgent. And like you said, go to the source. So if it's go to your account, so go online rather than clicking through a link. That's what your advice would be. Go to your Amazon account. Go open up a browser and see what's what.
100% always. So don't, you know, and I think what we see is a lot of the time it's, you know, scammers calling you or scammers. Don't respond. Don't give details over the phone. Just go back to the company or whoever you're interacting with and go and look at their app or their website, go into their account and log in. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're less likely to be scammed.
Yeah. And you were saying that part of the deal at Amazon is that you're trying to educate customers and help them pick these scams. Are they becoming easier to spot now, or is your education working?
I think education is working in the sense that, as you said earlier, like customers are more aware of what's happening. They've got a greater understanding of, you know, what we as a company will and won't do. Unfortunately, you know, scammers are really clever and their scams are evolving all the time as well. So to be honest, we're really just trying to keep pace. But I think the education part is just helping customers understand what we as a business will and won't do. And I think that will stop those sort of things that happen off our website, those calls and texts where people are using our brand. And I think that's where the education piece is, and that's where people, we're hoping, will get more familiar and understand what they need to do.
Absolutely. It's a recognisable brand for sure. I spoke a couple of weeks ago to internet security company Norton, and they were saying that AI is now a part of the cyber criminals' toolkit nowadays. Are you finding that as well, that the scams are becoming even more convincing and even more look a bit more realistic?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and this is the other thing, you know, when you look at URLs which look almost realistic but aren't, and other things like that. And we actually now have a tool where, you know, we have on our website, people can report what the scam is, and they can send us an image in it or an attachment of what the message that they've received is, so that we can have a look at it and try and stop these types of scams. And some of them are incredibly sophisticated. So yes, I agree. Scammers are always ingenious, and that's why we're just trying to think of all the different ways that we can try and protect our customers when they use our website.
But unfortunately, there's not a 100% success rate in people avoiding scams, although I see that you guys, Amazon, has seen a 15% decrease in the number of customers who fell victims. But there are some of those customers who do fall victim to scams. So what's Amazon's approach here? What should a customer do? And what do you do to help them?
We really understand that, you know, this is a problem that's not just located to our website, and people do fall victims to scams. So, and we really think that we're trying to work across the industry, and we think this isn't just it's not just about our company. It's about us working with the regulator and working with groups like ID Care and just trying to help everyone and victims themselves and talk them through what that process is. So we have offer support to victims. They can contact us. We can try and work through their problems with them as well and just try and provide a solution for them. Mm-hmm. So we have if you could jump on our website, there's contact details where you can get in touch with us and we can try and help you
So if I click on a link and buy some gadget that I think is from a legit Amazon site and I discover subsequently that it isn't, so will Amazon try to help me get my money back, and what steps do you guys follow?
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, a customer's thinking, well, I'm not actually on Amazon spending money. I'm at another site imitating Amazon. So will Amazon care?
You know, when you fall a victim to a scam, you need to be able to quickly report it and understand how you can move forward, especially if you have, you know, lost money. Mm-hmm. So obviously, financial loss is one piece. Scams can also take, you know, a social and emotional toll. And we like to help victims when they need it most. Also includes helping them recover from a range of potential impacts. So we've got, at Amazon, we've got specialized teams who offer tailored support to customers who believe that they've been a victim of a scam. And I'd also really encourage people as well, if you go to amazon.com.au/report a scam.
Yep.
You can always report that suspicious message to us, and that goes even if you aren't an Amazon customer and even if you haven't, you know, suffered a financial loss, a really key part of that for us is understanding how these bad actors are using our brand. So people should report things to us even if they haven't lost money, as for example, but just so we know what's going on and we can try and take action as well.
And you touched on earlier that part of the deal is that you've actually caught scammers and held them to account. So that's a bit of a breakthrough.
Yeah, we did it. It was a really cool project actually last year, where we, along with Microsoft and the Central Bureau of Investigation, which is the, you may not have heard of it, it's the Federal Enforcement Agency in India, worked as like a cross-industry effort to protect consumers from particularly impersonation scams. Yeah. So last year it meant that we dismantled, like, get this, 70 fraudulent call centres in India.
Wow.
That were set up specifically to impersonate Microsoft and Amazon customer support. So basically, this impacted more than 2,000 customers from Amazon and Microsoft based all around the world. So it's pretty wild to think that there are literally fake call centres set up just to impersonate brands like ours. This is kind of what we're trying to manage and deal with when we're helping our customers.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think it's people would be very surprised to hear that. It's startling to hear, to think that this is an industry. People don't understand that this is an industry, a very lucrative industry. And like you said, call centres dedicated to scamming people, that's alarming. People are alarmed to hear that.
Yeah. Literal fraudulent call centres set up to impersonate trusted brands.
Yeah, and you being one of the biggest targets, one of the biggest most visible brands anyway, it's good to hear that you're on the front foot trying to help protect your customers and avoid them becoming victims.
Always. I mean, that's a really – customer trust is such a big part of how we operate, and so anything that we can do to help protect our customers will definitely – is something we're interested in investigating and implementing.
Great to talk to you today, Julie. Appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Keeping you updated and educated. Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Well, affordable technology is becoming even more popular, especially in these times where things are a little bit tough. A lot of people that don't have as much disposable income to spend on their gadgets. That's why an Australian company called Laser has really kicked a goal in the last few years. Well, in fact, they've been around for more than 30 years. They've been selling products for across 20 categories. More than 800 products across 20 categories are available through Laser. We've written about plenty of their products here on the Tech Guide website as well. But what they've just done, they've revealed their most popular devices that have been sold online. Some a really interesting list here, and I thought we'd get Chris Lau on the line to talk about it and talk about the things, the trends that he's seeing. Hi there, Chris. Welcome to the Tech Guide podcast. How are you going?
Very good. Thanks, Stephen. Thank you for inviting me.
That's okay, mate. I saw you put out your list of your 10 most popular products that have been sold recently, and I found that really interesting list of products there and some surprises too. Let's kick off with Blu-ray and DVD players. Physical media is still alive and well, isn't it?
Yes, Stephen. We've been selling DVD, Blu-ray in whatever the format is, whether it's for the car or portable or home, for quite a while now, more than 20 years. And realistically, we haven't really experienced a decline in unit numbers that much at all. In fact, most recently over the last year, we've had a small increase.
Wow.
So more people are buying DVD and Blu-ray in whatever format, for the car or for home, than we've had in the past.
I think too, isn't that, does that also say that people are dipping back into their physical media collections? Because we own a lot of movies, don't we? So people are thinking, we need something to play these on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's some data out there which virtually every household's got old classic movies on DVD, which you may not be able to find on streaming. So there's that one. Plus, there's still a lot of ethnic content which people bring in from overseas.
Yep.
Some of those, you know, maybe copying ones from Bali. And there's a lot of self-help content, like an Anthony Robbins thing or a Get Fit, Get Well Better, or those old, like, and I know you like the rugby, there might have been a 1976 ARL Grand Final on CD, which you can't find on streaming or services.
Absolutely.
Like that. So there's a lot of content on DVD and Blu-ray, which people just want to dig out of their cupboards and watch them again.
Yeah, you're right though, eh? Not everything's on streaming services, mate. You know, I'm a massive fan of physical media. I've got a massive collection, and I love the thing I love about physical media is that it's a repeatable experience. You press play, it's going to be the same quality, the same every single time. I mean, you can't say that for streaming, and even sometimes the movies aren't available on streaming anymore. So having that disc and obviously a decent player to play it in is really important.
100%. And you've got that content when you need it. You don't have to worry about your internet streaming or your data. And it's that consistency, especially if you've got a good setup and you can listen in your dog's surround sound with the big screen and whatever resolution screen has.
Now let's talk a little bit about the company, mate. Laser's been around for a little while, more than 30 years, and you've kind of built up this great reputation of being this affordable consumer electronics company. So offering affordable products for customers. I'm betting right now, sort of with cost of living pressures, that I think business is probably better than ever for you.
Certainly is. We sort of tend to buck the trend. When there are financial pressures, which there has been recently, people may reconsider an expensive purchase and have a look at maybe some of our products, especially in things like personal audio, like headphones and speakers, certainly in smart home, DVD and Blu-ray, which is so across the board, even iPhone cables and USB cables. Do I need to spend as much for maybe another brand or will the laser one do the job?
You mentioned smart home. That's a good let's pick it up there. That's a good point where people among your more popular products are smart home products, including light bulbs, as cheap as $10. So are you finding that customers are thinking, you know what, I want to get into this space, but I don't want to spend too much money. I think they're taking their first steps in an affordable way using your products, aren't they?
Certainly are. We were first to market with the $10 bulb. We continue that. I think in certain retailers that are selling our bulbs, you might find it cheaper than that. It's a great way to get into the smart home universe. Hey, Google, do this. Hey, Amazon, do that. And what it does is it gives you confidence if you can run it. It's not just a bulb. It could be a $39 or $49 camera, or it could be a $20 electric switch, smart switch.
Yep.
So you start with those products, and then you come back and you eventually buy more products. You don't have to stay in our universe, although we would like you to. You can start with a laser smart home bulb, say from Big W, and later on you can go and buy another camera from another brand, and they all sort of work together.
Yeah, great. I noticed too on your list here of your top 10 most shop products, there's a few kids products, including headphones. You do stock a lot of kid friendly products, don't you?
We certainly stock a lot of kids friendly products. We have a license with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and soon to be released SpongeBob. That's going into Big W, but certainly affordable, volume limited kids headphones, as a general category, does very well.
Yep.
And because we're often a price leader, it's these things are, I'm going to say, sort of like consumable, as kids are perhaps so gentle with their products.
Yep.
So you could end up buying multiple headphones for multiple kids. And certainly as they grow out of them and they need better features, you've got that walk up on the headphone. So
of course.
Consumables, headphones are very fashion-driven, price-driven. And
you mentioned volume limited, so that means the kids can't blare it too loud and affect their hearing as they grow up.
That's correct. So no matter what device they're plugging into, a phone, a TV, your Nintendo, you can't exceed a certain volume.
Yeah, right. And I suppose mum and dad want a bit of peace and quiet, eh? So they'd be happy to put a pair of headphones on their son or daughter, eh?
correct. It's actually the opposite for you and me, mate, because if we want headphones, we want it to go louder because we can't hear anymore.
Speak for yourself, mate. Speak for yourself.
That's right.
What about...
I need a hearing aid for my headphones.
Oh, mate, okay. Well, I'm not quite at that point yet, but let's talk about... here's a product of yours that I've used and I really like, is your in-car touchscreen that it can solves a bit of a problem here. So if you've got an older car and you don't have CarPlay or Android Auto... This is a great addition to, let's for want of a better word, to a dumb car. It can turn a dumb car into a smart car.
Oh, absolutely. It was a surprise inclusion in the Black Friday Christmas play last year. We sold out within a week. So we were quite surprised at it. And as you say, it's a It's basically a screen that sits in your car and connects to your Android or iPhone. And everything you can do, well, most things you can do on your phone, you can replicate on your on this device in your car. So you can run Google or Apple Maps. You can run your playlist on Spotify or Apple Music. You can send messages and texts. You can answer calls. So there's a lot of things that you can do on the device in your car, and you don't have to get your phone out of your pocket because it's all wireless.
Yeah, and you don't have to buy a new car to get CarPlay either. You can have your own, your existing car, and still enjoy all those features. So you can stream what Apple Music, your messaging, WhatsApp, everything, and your mapping as well. So the Google Maps, Apple Maps, the whole bit is right there. And how big is the screen? 7-inch screen?
7-inch screen, and we'll have a 10-inch coming out later in the year.
Oh, wow.
With an optional reverse camera. What we're seeing from customers who are giving us feedback, it's a great device because it's absolutely hands-free. You just talk to it.
Yeah.
Hey, Google, take me to 10 Smith Street, Parramatta.
Right.
Hey, Google, call mum.
Yeah.
Hey, Google, play Taylor Swift. So it's all by voice.
Yeah. Okay, you just realise you just triggered everyone's phone to ring their mother right now, don't
sorry.
You?
That's right. Yes.
No worries, Chris. Well, look, those top 10 lists it's on Tech Guide at the moment, and congratulations, mate, on the success. The company's doing really well and offering these affordable products for all your customers. We appreciate your time on the Tech Guide podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear. They're Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If your home demands superior Wi-Fi, treat it with a masterpiece in connectivity. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6E from Netgear. Orbi Wi-Fi 6E is the first and only Wi-Fi 6 quad band whole home mesh system, opening an exclusive all-new 6 gigahertz superhighway that's fine-tuned to deliver unprecedented Wi-Fi speeds and smoother streaming simultaneously across the smart homes of today and tomorrow. It's Wi-Fi perfectly engineered. Find out more at netgear.com.au/best Wi-Fi.
And now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenech.
Kicking off the reviews this week, an interesting little product, and little is the operative word here. What is that saying? Good things come in small packages. Well, with the Geekom Mini IT13, that's a mini PC, I think that's a pretty fair statement. Now, in my review, I've called it tiny but mighty. This is a mini PC. Intel used to make this kind of PC. It's called the NUC. The general term for it is mini PC, and by mini, I'm talking small. We're talking 11.7 centimetres wide, 11.2 centimetres long, and just 4.92 centimetres tall. That is small. So if you actually, to give you an idea of the footprint of this product, if you put a CD case on your desk, does anyone use CDs anymore? Put a CD case on your desktop, the footprint of this computer is actually smaller than that, just to give you an idea of how small it is. And the being so small, it can be used anywhere. So this style of PC, it's become a specialty product because of its size, and it's used in a variety of places, including in vehicles, caravans, stores as point-of-sale computers, in boardrooms, meeting rooms. You can even use it as a media center connected to your television if you wanted to. Now, Geekom is a Taiwanese company. They've been around more than 20 years. They've been selling across the US and Europe and have now entered recently the Australian market. And I got the opportunity to receive the Mini IT13. So it's got the 13th gen Intel Core i9 processor. It's got the Intel Iris Xe graphics. It's got 32 gig of RAM and 2 terabytes of SSD storage on board, solid state storage. Now, just looking at this thing, you think, well, this couldn't be that powerful. But I've got to say, the small size really belies its actual power and performance. It does a great job. Now, to be clear, this can handle all your general computing needs, which I'm talking like 95% of computing customers. But if you're looking at high-end 8K video, high-end gaming, then you probably need an additional graphics card connected to this as well. It can handle everything else. You can do video editing, but just not to like a professional film level, pro level of editing. And just the same with the gaming, you do need a better graphics card to be able to handle it. The processor, the i9, does a pretty good job, but you also need, I think, the external graphics card, the external discrete graphics card is what Geekom is talking about as well. So that way you'll end up having to now it can handle most of your needs, including editing, gaming, casual gaming. But if you are really want to push it to that sort of higher end video editing, playing the latest cutting edge games, then I think you'd probably look at adding an external discrete graphics card to meet your needs there. But I think that sort of customer is not going to probably buy this type of computer. They're going to buy a computer that specializes in handling those sort of programs and those sorts of games. But nevertheless, though, the Mini IT13 from Geekom is pretty handy. It can power two 8K displays and two 4K displays, so you can really spread out your work. The reason it can do that, it has this amazing connectivity, including two HDMI 2.0 ports, two USB-C 4.0 ports. So there's your four external monitors. It also has three USB 3.2 Gen 2 ports, one USB 2.0 port, an SD card reader, and a LAN port as well. So connectivity, despite its small size, you got everything you need and then some. It also has Wi-Fi 6E on board, and that can that supports dual stream Wi-Fi in 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, 60 gigahertz band as well. Also has Bluetooth 5.3. Now, for those who like getting under the hood, this will also please you because this little mini PC is also accessible. So you can actually get in there, expand the memory, make any other tweaks that you want as well. So a true PC lover's PC, this one. But what I love about it is that it's really small and you can use it anywhere. For our review, we used it just in our office here. But I also used it in my Astro shed. Now, I've got a shed in my backyard that has all my telescopes, all my mounts. I've got a computer, two monitors in there. It's like mission control. I have a little mini. I've got an Intel NUC, so I actually unplugged that and put in the Geekom Mini IT13 in there, and its small size was perfect. It had more than enough power. So what I'm powering are different applications to align the telescopes, to process some images. So nothing really high end, but really useful to have those programs running fast right where I need them. So having a larger PC, even a laptop computer, it would take up a bit of room in there that I just didn't want to give up. So that's why, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of specialist uses for a product like this, including those in vehicles and those other places that I told you about. So yeah, I think all it's running Windows 11 Pro as well, by the way. Has this tiny size, still performs really well, works really quietly too. That's what I really liked. It's got a quiet fan that's running under there, keeping everything nice and cool. It has the latest CPU of the i9 13th generation. It's paired with a 4x4 ultra fine mini motherboard, and ultra turbo frequency. It gets up to 5.4 hertz as well. So pretty good performance you're getting there. Now I think one of the things about this is, of course, it's small. One thing you should note is that one reason it is small is because it doesn't have the onboard power supply. By that I mean, you know, when I think gaming consoles even have this. There's some of the earlier gaming consoles. The cord includes this little power brick as well as the actual power cord. That's what's on board the Geekom. So, sorry, it's not on board. So it's the cable, so the computer itself, connect the power supply, which has that little power brick on it, then the power cord. That's the one of the reasons why it's so small. There's a picture of what I'm talking about. So, yes, it fits anywhere, but you also got to fit that power brick and the power cord along with it as well. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's small. If the power supply was on board, it would be twice the size because the power brick has about the same volume, I reckon, as the Geekom mini PC itself. Now, the IT, what I was given to review is the Geekom mini IT13 i9. So it's got the i9 processor, 32 gig of RAM, 2 terabyte SSD storage. Now, that's priced right now at $1,299. A little expensive for some, but what you're getting there, a lot of RAM and a lot of storage, and that's not cheap. And that price is actually down from $1,999. Now, there's an i5 version with 16 gig of RAM, 512 gig SSD. That's $849, down from $999. That could very well do most people. If you want a bit more storage, a bit more speed, a bit more capability, then you probably go the i9 or the i7. Speaking of the i7, there's also the i7 version, 32 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD, which is $1,199, and that's down from $1,499. So what I reckon, you might as well go for the i9 with 32 gig of RAM, 2 terabytes of SSD. That's $100 more expensive than the i7, and you're getting a way better computer. And the i7, that's $1,199 down from $1,499. The i9 is $1,299 down from $1,999. So bigger discount. Add an extra, I'd go the extra $100 and get the i9. You're going to get a much better value computer right there. Again, not the cheapest, but you are getting a lot of power, a lot of bang for your buck right there. It does help you, as I mentioned earlier, 4 monitors you can connect to this thing. So can be used in a variety of ways, in boardrooms, meeting rooms, you name it. Point of sale, connected to your TV, has a lot of uses, and the fact that it's so small really adds to it as well. So, yeah, excellent connectivity, really easy to upgrade too if you want to get in under the hood. Excellent performance as well for a computer of this size, and takes up hardly any room. If you want to read our complete review of the Geekom Mini IT13, check it out at techguide.com.au. Now, here's an interesting one. An Aussie company has developed a software platform called Searcher.tv. So Searcher, there's no E at the end. So search with an R. So it's typical, take out the last vowel. So Searcher.tv is a platform. It's an aggregation platform for all your content, and can also become a powerful search engine to find your movies, TV shows, sport, and news, thanks to its deep links to IMDb. That's the Internet Movie Database. Great website. Now, news-wise, they've partnered with Lead Story, one of Australia's leading news platforms, and that also aggregates stories from 16 global publishers. And for that, you'll see breaking news, content, sport, and other programming. That's part of Searcher as well. Now, Searcher can be downloaded via the Google Play Store on compatible smart TVs. It's right now being developed for Samsung and LG TVs as a standalone app as well. It can also be viewed, of course, on smartphones, tablets, and on computers, all through the browsers of those respective products. There is an iOS and Android app also in development that will be released in the coming weeks. So what is this thing? Now, we have on our TVs and other platforms all of our services, and these services come in through various apps on our smart TVs. So Searcher is software that's bringing in and aggregating, putting in one place all of your content, whether it's free-to-air, catch-up apps, whether it's streaming services, it's all putting it in one place. Now, does that sound familiar? Recently, a little product called Hubble launched. Now, Hubble is all about doing pretty much what I just described, bringing all your content into one place. there is several layers of intelligence to Hubble, including its aggregating content that it owns, so Binge, all those apps. Hubble also offers a discount if you stack and save. So if you're saving, if you've got five apps, for example, that qualify for stack and save, you'll get $15 off per month. Searches is not offering anything like that at the moment, but what it is offering is a software solution that can help you find all the best content on all of your services. So rather than you, in the case of your computer, your smartphone, your TV, that's the device that's doing all the heavy lifting in terms of the processing. What Search is offering, it's the software that can do it. So rather than you having to get an additional bit of software, it's another app that piggybacks off the power of the device it's resting on so that you can then choose your content. So if you're able to stream on Searcher right now, Netflix, Disney Plus, Apple TV, Paramount Plus, Stan, iTunes, HeyU, BritBox, Telstra TV, 7 Plus, 10 Play, 9 Now, ABC iView, SBS On Demand, and DocPlay. So it'll offer all of those streaming options so you can select the platforms that have a subscription. You can also, what they've done, I mentioned earlier, they've formed a partnership with Lead Story, so 16 global publishers to put all their stories in one place. So that's your news side looked after. So it's a service that aggregates all your content in one place, lets you search for content as well using specific filters. So imagine a system-wide search for all movies, or movies starring Brad Pitt, or movies or TV shows starring George Clooney or whoever, so whatever TV star there happens to be. And it goes back, it grabs a lot of this information from IMDb. So that is, I think, the hidden strength of this platform is that you can find stuff real quick. You can find out where stuff is viewable as well. So it reminds me of an app called Just Watch, where you type in the name of a show and it'll tell you where you can watch it. So in this instance, all the subscription services that you have, it'll search through all of those and be able to find where that content is. Now, yes, Hubble does the same thing. Fetch does the same thing and does it really well. This is a software-based solution that's only going to cost you as little as $2.50 per month. So it acts on like a subscription service. You can enjoy a 14-day free trial if you like. They're also rolling out a special introductory offer. You get 3 free months with any annual subscription. The annual subscription, $29.95, and it gets you all this platform that can bring everything together in one place. So it's does have its similarities to Hubble, but a lot of differences. Does have a lot of similarities to Fetch, and again, a lot of differences. But at its most basic form, it's a great search engine for all your content. All the content you're subscribing to, or you might have heard about a show, this is one way to find out where it is. And if you don't have that subscription service, it'll find out where it is. It'll tell you exactly which subscription service you need to look for. And you can potentially even add that down the track. So it's early days for Searcher. It's only just launched. Aussie company. So, yeah, it's a software solution that can streamline your entertainment choices and help you find what you want to watch a lot quicker rather than having to search into multiple apps and then make a decision. This brings everything to the front. Searcher.tv, I hope I explained that clearly. You can read a little bit more about it at techguide.com.au. Now, we've been speaking about Hubble a fair bit in the last weeks and months. I even spoke about it in the previous segment. Now, Hubble has been around for a while. It's doing pretty well. And as I've described in the past, Hubble is a way for you to aggregate all your content, including your streaming services, sport apps, everything, including KO Sports, and it brings all the great content to the service. It even hooks into your free-to-air apps and strips out the live TV feed, so you don't have to dive into the apps. It's just part of the TV guide. So what they've just announced more recently is a feature or service called KO Freebies. Now, this is, as its name suggests, a free live and on-demand service where you can watch more than 35 sports directly on the Hubble homepage for free. So this doesn't require you to be a KO Sports subscriber either. So even if you're not a subscriber, you can still get a lot of this free content that's viewable right there on the Hubble homepage. It's even got its own little section of the carousel, so you can see it there. It's quite visible. And we're talking Formula One, netball, basketball, and many, many other sports that are there for free. So I'll give you an example. Some of the free stuff is the, say, Formula One qualifying and practice. You might not be able to watch the actual race for free, but you get all that other stuff for free. Same thing, NBL finals, Super Netball, MotoGP practice and qualifying races, Sail GP, World Surf League, and all these other range of KO Minis and KO Bytes, so those little highlight packages as well. So you can get all of that stuff, and it's all free, all through the KO Sports app, even if you are not a subscriber. So we love sport here in Australia. Being able to access sport for free is what free-to-air TV is all about. But there's your opportunity to access free sport through KO Freebies if you're using Hubble, whether you've got the small Hubble puck, which is $99, or you've gone all out and bought the Hubble Glass television, which we're going to review actually on next week's show. That's one way of accessing all of this stuff. Sport is part of our DNA, as Julian Ogren, the managing director of KO Sports, said. He knows how much Aussies love it, and so they've made this available to all Hubble customers free of charge, hence the name KO Freebies. If you love sport and you love free stuff, then KO Freebies is built right for you. You want to check it out? To read our story at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Norton. They're the company that can keep you and your family safe online. You are being tracked, profiled, and targeted online every day from advertisers and other businesses. Did you know how private you are while you're browsing online? Using incognito mode is only one part of how you can disguise your digital footprint. If you're searching something private or sensitive online, whether it's medical, financial, or otherwise, it's important to ensure you aren't being tracked online. You can now stay more private online with Norton AntiTrack. Go beyond clearing your browser history and stopping targeted ads with Norton's anti-fingerprinting technology and tracking alerts on a dashboard you can browse anonymously and seamlessly to help keep you more private online. Including with Norton Private Email, you no longer have to share your real email address with services you don't want to. It also blocks hidden email trackers. Norton AntiTrack helps you stay more private online and lets you know who is trying to track you. Get Norton AntiTrack today. Available from Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Officeworks, or au.norton.com.
All your tech questions answered. This is the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk is brought to you each and every week by our great friends at Belkin. Belkin.com/AU. If you're after USB docks, Thunderbolt docks, cables, screen protectors, charging devices, MagSafe products, Belkin has got them. No matter what you need to achieve, whether it's charging, extending your battery life, protecting your smartphone, or connecting all your monitors to your computer, Belkin has got your back. Belkin.com/AU. I thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk about refurbished smartphones. I know there are a lot of customers who are holding on to older devices. A few weeks ago, we were talking about how when the 3G shutdown occurs, there may be some early 4G devices that won't be able to call 000. I think you need to really look at what device you have. Go into your telco if you're not sure. Let them have a look at it and let them to tell you whether you need to update your phone or not. Now, I know one thing that is a worry for some customers is if they do need to upgrade their device, they're worried that they're going to have to spend hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars. Well, I think a great solution here is a refurbished smartphone. Now, if you are an iPhone user, I recommend if you're looking for a secondhand device, probably iPhone 12 and later. Reason I say 12 is because it's a 5G. It's their first 5G device. So I think you're future-proofing yourself a little bit. If you go further back to 7 and 8, then, yeah, they're going to work on 4G, but they're going to pretty soon be outdated. So I reckon, and even if you're an Android user too, a Samsung phone that's 2 or 3 years old is going to be a lot cheaper than a brand new device. And the beauty of all these companies, Boost Mobile, Coles, there's so many Green Gadgets, there's so many companies that sell these refurbished products. The beauty is that they're all sold in great condition. They come with a warranty. They've been checked. They've had their data wiped. They've had the like more than 70 checks done on the devices. So you know you're getting a great device is in good condition, works well, does everything you need. So I reckon if you are a little bit worried about your device, whether it's going to work after the 3G shutdown, especially only for ringing 000, and that you don't want to be caught not being able to ring 000 when you need to ring 000. So I think get in there, check your device, check it to your telco. If you do need to upgrade, consider a refurbished device as a replacement. And that is our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the end. If you need to find out about anything that we've spoken about, you can find it at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch with us, we love to hear from you. Send us an email, info@techguide.com.au, or even easier, click the Ask Stephen icon, and that will open up a form that will end up as an email in my inbox. We also want to give a very special thanks to our great sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs, and also Norton, the company that can keep you and your family and your devices safe online. Please support the great companies who have been supporting the Tech Guide podcast. Thank you once again for listening. We'll be back with another show next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.